Grace to you and peace from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. I would guess Joseph did the same. These two had much to think about. The last year for them had been utterly astounding. The angel Gabriel appeared to Mary, informing her that the Holy Spirit would overshadow her, and the second person of the Holy Trinity would become human in her own womb. Mary would be called the Mother of God. Joseph also received a heavenly messenger. His words, however, were to keep him from divorcing his betrothed, Mary, which would leave her all alone. Together, this couple was to welcome into the world the Lord's anointed, his Christ, the Savior of all mankind. They would need each other as God's gifts to each other to properly care for that young, yet ancient life. But how could the Almighty become a baby? How could the true God humble himself so much to need his swaddling cloths changed? Were Mary and Joseph allowed to tell others the great news that they had received? And what would the reaction be when they did share that news? Would people think the worst of them and think that Mary was pregnant by Joseph before they were legally married? What would God the Son be like as a baby? What would he be like as a boy? How are they supposed to think of him as he got older and became an adult? How do you treat your son, who is also your God and your Savior? So much indeed to ponder in their hearts. Add to that mix their experience in the temple when they went there to have Mary and Jesus ritually purified after the birth. And perhaps the man Simeon was well known by all of Jerusalem. Perhaps he had made known to everyone that he met the great promise that God had made known to him that he would live until he had seen the promised Messiah. But he may have been a total stranger who could not help but to take up into his arms this flesh and blood baby Jesus. His words, the first of them, were certainly beautiful, proclaiming their Jesus to be the light to the Gentiles and the glory of all of Israel. But following his words of blessing came a chillingly cryptic word from this spirit-filled man. Behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign that is opposed, so that the thoughts from many hearts may be revealed. Oh, and Mary, a sword shall pierce through your own soul as well. Mary and Joseph could not yet fully know what their son would become. But Simeon's words would be fulfilled. Jesus would be the rise and the fall of many in Israel. His work, his ministry would stir up faith in the hearts of many of those chosen people of God in Israel. They would cling to this Jesus and they would trust in him as their Savior from sin like his own disciples would, especially after Jesus' death and his resurrection. Many others, however, would not allow the words of Jesus to permeate into their very being. They would refuse his claims and deny his identity as the world's Savior. That is like closing your eyes in the midst of the sunshine and thinking that you have made it all dark. The light is still there, and you look like a fool. All the years of history before Jesus are met in him. That is, all must be seen in the light of the Christ. It has all been about him. Lives, no matter how greatly lived in the past, mean nothing apart from faith in Jesus. All of the years of history since the time of Jesus are met in him as well. Lives are still meant to be seen in the light of Christ Jesus. He is the center of it all. Without him, there is no hope, no life, no salvation from sin, from evil, from corruption. Jesus has caused and continues to cause the rising and the falling of many all throughout the world. No heart can withstand the person and the work of Jesus. No heart can stand on its own apart from the Lord Jesus Christ. For all will be laid bare before the Lord. Those who are not in Christ will stand naked in their own sin. Those who bear his holy name, given to them in baptism, will stand clothed in his righteousness. And then came the prophetess Anna. All that is known about this woman is limited to these three verses of Luke's gospel. She was from the tribe of Asher. She was old and had been widowed for many years. Anna had made the temple her home. Day and night she worshiped by praying to the Lord and by fasting. At the same hour that Simeon had recognized the Messiah in Jesus, Anna came up to this family as well. She began right there in their midst, thanking God for having seen his eternal Son. And she did not stop speaking about Jesus to all those who were there waiting for the redemption of Jerusalem, the holy city. Anna knew that Jesus was that redemption, that Jerusalem was his prized possession. But it wasn't the city itself that would be redeemed by Jesus, but the people which it represented. God's chosen ones, his elected ones, were the ones to receive the gift of redemption. And there he was, in the temple, being lauded and heralded by Simeon and by Anna. Mary and Joseph were left to ponder all of these things too. Their Jesus, was to be the light to the Gentiles and the glory of Israel. Their Jesus was the reason Simeon was permitted to live. Their Jesus brought this prophetess Anna into the temple to sing praises to God, as their Jesus was God's redemption of Jerusalem. Their Jesus was the receiver of the shepherds' worship that night, just days ago. Their Jesus would cause the rising and the falling of many in Israel. their Jesus would reveal the secrets of every heart. Their Jesus would also cause Mary's heart to be pierced. So much to ponder, so much to wonder. As they pondered all of those things and remembered their education as children in the Word of God, Mary and Joseph did come to know that Jesus was not just theirs. He belonged to everyone as the only begotten Son of God. He had been sent to save all of God's people from their sins. Jesus had been sent to change everything, to undo the curse of sin upon the earth and upon all of mankind. Jesus had come as the ambassador, the go-between between God himself and sinful man. Jesus, the son of Joseph and this son of Mary, was the peace offering, the sacrificial lamb to go before God and before man. God demanded a perfect sacrifice in the place of all of mankind. And man needed God's forgiveness more than anything in the face of their ongoing wretchedness and sinfulness. God's demand and man's need were met in the one Lord Jesus, the boy who changed everything. That word of Jesus continues on into this day and will continue on until his return, being proclaimed and taught to all of the world. For Jesus and his word continue to cause the rise and the fall of sinners everywhere. You've seen it in your own lives, in the lives of those you know and love. His suffering and his death dealt a striking blow to Mary's own soul, not to mention the Father's own anguish at beholding his only Son as sin incarnate. But in that Son, in Jesus, is the full payment made for sin. He is the sacrifice needed by God and by man. He is the one who has made us right with God, because now God looks at us and sees his only Son when he peers into our hearts. Your sin is forgiven in Jesus. His righteousness is yours. God knows all the secrets of your hearts, and he loves you even so. You rise and you fall in your own sinful lives. But Christ remains your light and your glory. For you are God's people because of Jesus, what he has done for you on the cross and given to you in baptism and his only supper. And that does change everything. Amen. Now the peace that does pass all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and your minds in Jesus. Amen.